Our gracious Father, we are so in awe of your goodness and your mercy, sending your only begotten Son to die for our sin, to lift us up out of the miry clay and set our feet upon the rock of ages. We praise you. We give you all the glory and the honor for what you have done in saving us, justifying us, cleansing us, separating us from sin, and putting your Spirit within us that we can walk in newness of life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay. We have come in our study of Romans to chapter 8. Tony began chapter 8 last week and got through verse 4. And so we're going to pick up there. We'll read from 1 through 17. We'll try to get through 17 today. And so we begin reading God's Word in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit are of God, are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. And we'll stop there. And so, in studying this, it's an interesting section. The way that it comes across is so plain. And really, as I was studying, I found myself trying to study too intricately and trying to get into the leaves on the trees and forgetting about what the tree looked like overall. This message that Paul is delivering from the Holy Spirit is not something unusual. It's not something out of the ordinary. It's all through Scripture. It's justification and sanctification. Justification and sanctification. It's the gospel, if you will. It is the just the simple good news that Jesus has died for sins and that He has called people into Himself, put His Spirit into them, and now He leads them by His Spirit through this life to glorify His name. That's it. That's it. Okay. So let's get into it and see how He did it, how He comes across with that. Justification and sanctification. Since we are not justified by the flesh, does it matter what we do? Since we're not justified by the flesh, what do we mean, justified by the flesh? Well, that's what he's been going through this whole time, since chapter 1, really, demonstrating that the flesh is not productive to get you peace with God. That's not how it happens. And so Paul, we saw in chapter 6, verses 1, in chapter 6, verse 1, he comes with that statement. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? Since we're not justified by the flesh, does it really matter what we do outwardly? Since the flesh cannot produce righteousness, does it really matter what our bodies do? And then verse 15 of chapter 6. What then, are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? Are we to sin because we're not under law but under grace? Because we have been justified by grace, separated from sin, not condemned by the law any longer, does it matter what we do with our bodies? Okay, chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, there's none now. There's no condemnation now. For who? Those who are in Christ. In verses 2 through 4, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So how is there no condemnation? How is there no condemnation? I think he just answered that. God sent His Son in a sinless body for the purpose of satisfying the righteous requirements of the law, His perfect good, as we've seen most recently in chapter 7, His perfect and good and holy law. Okay? Now, the law of sin and death has become the law of the Spirit of life. The law, God's law, God's holy law of sin and death has become the law of the Spirit of life experimentally when God chose to give us the Spirit. Okay? When God poured His Spirit into us, we became holy. We became a friend to the law. The law is not condemning us any longer because we have kept it. We have righteously fulfilled every jot and tittle of God's law by faith in Christ. Notice what he said in chapter 8, verse 4. In order, all this, God sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, or because of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us. The righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us. And that might doesn't mean maybe they are. That is an absolute sure thing. Those who have God's Spirit have no condemnation because we have kept God's law. Amen? We have kept God's law by the putting of the Spirit within us, separating us from sin and condemnation of the law. Look at chapter 5, verse 5. Chapter 5, verse 5. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And then in Titus, chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, we have that established, correctly? We have that established, that we are justified by grace through faith, which means we have completely and perfectly kept God's law. Let me read it again, verse 4 of chapter 8, Romans. In order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Okay, so what about that walking? Who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We have fully kept God's law in Christ, and now we are able to walk in it. We have kept it by faith in Christ, and now we can walk daily in it. Okay, so there's that justification, sanctification. Justification produces sanctification. It's a necessary thing. And we see that as we go on down here in chapter 8. Before we go any further in 8, let's look at Galatians. And he's saying the same thing in a little different wording. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. Chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then chapter 6 of Galatians, in verses 1 and 2, chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourselves, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, wait a minute. I thought you just said that it was fulfilled already. So why... Wait a minute. Sounds like I think I remember somebody saying something about that. What was it Paul said? Shall we sin that grace may abound? Because we're not under the law, should we just go sin? Does it matter what we do? Keep watch on yourselves, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. This is called walking in what we are. Being who we are. Now, let's go chapter 8, verse 4 again of Romans. In order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, what was in order that? Christ died in order that the righteous requirements may be fulfilled in us. So His death brought us to a place of positional perfect righteousness in Christ, and it also brings us sanctification daily. His death is whereby we are sanctified. We're not sanctified by, okay, now I'm going to just work as hard as I can and do the best that I can, and I know Jesus paid for my sins, but when I sin, it just feels so bad, and I'm not really sure that He paid for that one. I better work really hard and try to make... No, He paid for it. And He will lead you into all righteousness as you live with His Spirit in you. Can we walk according to the flesh? Can we? We? Who are we? We talked about that a few weeks ago. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Can we, who are in Christ Jesus, walk according to the flesh? Question. Can we walk according to the flesh? We who have God's Spirit can't walk according to the flesh. Answer. Now, wait a minute, mister. I know I have done some things after I was saved that you wouldn't believe. Me too. How does that fit? How does our transgressions, after we have come to God, after we have been positionally set right with God, we have peace with God, there's no condemnation, and then we sin? Galatians chapter 5, Galatians 5, verses 13 through 26, 13 through 26. I'm not reading yet. I'm going to restate my position and make sure that it lines up with God's Word. We ask the question, can we walk according to the flesh? Answer, we who have God's Spirit cannot walk according to the flesh as characteristic of our whole life. As characteristic of our whole life. But we can get in step with the flesh. We can get in step with the flesh. Okay, so there's a distinction between living out every day of your life in one way versus doing something that you are repenting of. Okay? And the Scripture puts it like that, that you're out of step with the Spirit and you're in step with the flesh as a believer. Let's read that in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, 13 through 26. For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Keep in mind, he's talking to believers here. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh, in other words, he said in verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not saved by keeping the law. You are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy. Here's one I have trouble with. Fits of anger, revelries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, why is Paul talking to believers in such a way if they are positionally righteous and they don't sin? Right? They do, obviously. We do. We are people. We have still a, as I believe it's the Apostle Paul puts it, a dead body. The body is dead. The spirit that is in is alive. We are alive by God's Holy Spirit dwelling within us. But this body is still not productive, not for justification or for sanctification. So yes, we can get out of step with God's Holy Spirit. And all of you who have been saved more than one day can attest to that. Am I right? Not only do you sin, but everything, every thought and every action that we do is not acceptable to God outside Christ Jesus. Amen? Let me read from Calvin. He can put it more eloquently than I could. John Calvin said, quote, but after the Lord has withdrawn the sinner from the abyss of perdition and set him apart for himself by means of adoption, having begotten him again and formed him to newness of life, he embraces him as a new creature. He bestows the gift of the Spirit. This is the acceptance to which Peter refers, and by which believers, after their calling, are approved by God, even in the precept of works. Even in the respect of our works, what we do is still in Christ. after we have come to believe. For the Lord cannot but love and delight in the good qualities which He produces in them by means of His Spirit. But we must always bear in mind that the only way in which men are accepted of God in respect of works, that which we do, think, that which we do as a person, that whatever good works He has conferred upon those whom He admits to favor, He, by an increase of liberality, honors with His acceptance. He, by an increase of His liberality, honors with His acceptance. For whence their good works? Where does it come from? Where does good works come from? Does it come from the flesh, the dead body that we have, the natural mind? Is that where the works come from? Not if you're in the Spirit. Not if you have the Spirit. For whence these good works? But just that the Lord, having chosen them as vessels of honor, is pleased to adorn them with true purity. Well, that is just beautiful. What a blessing. And how are their actions deemed good? As if there were no deficiency in them? But just that their merciful Father indulgently pardons the spots and blemishes which adhere to them. In one word, the only meaning of acceptance in this passage is that God accepts and takes pleasure in His children, in whom He sees the traces and lineaments of His own countenance. Remember, it's His Spirit living within us. He sees Christ in us. We have elsewhere said that the regeneration is a renewal of the living image of the divine image in us, since God, therefore, whenever He beholds His own face, justly loves it and holds it in honor. The life of believers, when formed to holiness and justice, is said, not without cause, to be pleasing to Him. But because believers, while encompassed with mortal flesh, are still sinners, and their good works only begun savor of the corruption of the flesh, God cannot be propitious either to their persons or their works. In other words, He can't forgive them unless He embraces them more in Christ than in themselves. Amen. Justification and sanctification. So, let's read chapter 8 now, in verses 5 through 10. Chapter 8 of Romans. Remember verse 4. In order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, dealing with that justification aspect that Christ died, came in a sinful body, He died, and now we are justified, we have fulfilled God's law positionally, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Sanctification in Christ. And then verses 5 and following, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. Now, the one key that really gives you an idea of what he's talking about there is verse 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Now, obviously, we still have physical bodies or we wouldn't be sitting here reading this, right? We're still here. So what's he talking about? You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Back to verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who live. Key word there, live. So from the context, I believe to live according to the flesh is referring to using the ability of the flesh for justification, or we might say works righteousness. My good deeds are outweighing my bad deeds kind of thing. For those who live or attempt to be right with God, attempt to have this no condemnation status, attempt to be at peace with God according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. And so these people, their sanctification is incomplete at best. It is woefully incomplete because they're setting their mind for justification on something that is, as we see later there, is dead. It only produces death. And so their walk, their daily walk, is filled with the works of the flesh, as we've already looked at in Galatians. What are those works of the flesh? The fruits that the flesh produces. And so you come up with these doctrines like, well, he lost his salvation, but he can repent and be saved again and do it all over. No. Or, well, it doesn't really matter what you do in the flesh because you're justified in Christ and the flesh really has nothing to do with, well, that's right, the flesh has nothing to do with, but we walk according to the Spirit. That means daily living our lives loving one another and loving God. And thus we fulfill God's law in our sanctification, because we're led by His Spirit that lives within us to do these things. This is not just specific to this section. This is what he's been building on this whole time. This whole text, really verses, ever since he established that justification is by grace through faith in Christ, chapters 1 through 4. Then in chapter 5, it's just justification in Christ, sanctification in Christ, justification in Christ, sanctification in Christ. The flesh can't justify you. The flesh can't sanctify you. Over and over and over. That's the whole context. I think I may have skipped a couple of verses. Well, let's just go ahead. Go ahead to chapter 5 of Romans. Chapter 5 and verses 1 through 12. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have that fact established. We are justified by grace through faith in Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Okay, so we stand in grace, which means we are positionally righteous in Him through His death. And it also means the same thing it did in chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation. Now, if I read that tomorrow, is there going to be condemnation? No. There is therefore now no condemnation. Amen? Now, no condemnation. And we stand in Him. Verse 2, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Past, we have been justified. And we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ now. Right now. And we stand in this grace. And then future, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. One day, we won't have to say our works are imperfect and we are only able to walk in the Spirit because of the leading of the Spirit. One day we won't be tempted by these fleshly bodies. The hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that our suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. Now, that's not just restating the fact that we're justified. When it says, much more, it's saying, and we will live in it. We will stand in it. We will walk in it daily. We shall be saved from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. See, salvation, that term has really been misused and abused. When you believe in Christ and have faith in His death, you're not saved. What? No. You have begun to be saved. Okay? So, you are regenerated, you are justified, and now you are being sanctified. Now, if at that point you died, went directly to heaven, go directly to heaven, you will be glorified, and you will be a perfect saint. Much more now that much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. Verse 11, more than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. And then, we see it also in chapter 6. Chapter 6, verses 5 through 14. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. We know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. When we're glorified? No, that's not what He's saying. So that we would no longer be enslaved to sin, for one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. Now think back about what I said in chapter 8. Living is those who live according to the flesh are attempting to justify themselves with their good deeds. They say, I will have peace with God. I will be saved. I will live, all the common terms, by what I do. Works righteousness. With that in mind, now if we have died with Christ, verse 8, we believe that we will also live with Him. See, there's that justification, sanctification process. And it's all in Him. Verse 9, we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death He died to sin once for all. And that, by the way, is for us. He had no sin. He died to sin once for us. Once for all. But the life He lives to God. The life He lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. You're dead and you're alive to God, just positionally in Christ. And that also works out through your sanctification. So in that is justification and sanctification flowing out of that justification. And then chapter 7, verses 4 through 6. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to Him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. What does it mean to bear fruit? To bear fruit. Well, if you have the Spirit, you bear the fruits of the Spirit. Right? If you have the Spirit, you bear the fruit of the Spirit. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. Now you think about his context and who he's writing to and who's writing. We're talking about Paul the Pharisee. And primarily Christianity was made up of Jewish people to begin with. And they had instilled within the Gentiles a kind of a works righteousness idea coming out of the Old Covenant. And so when Paul says in verse 5, while we were living in the flesh, so while we were being justified by keeping the law of Moses, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. We could do nothing. We couldn't keep even the least jot or tittle of God's law. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. So we just take God's law and throw it away. Wad it up and throw it away. Well, then he comes back and says, no, God's law is good and holy. So we endeavor to keep God's law every day by the work of the flesh, by the power of the flesh, no. By doing as many good deeds as we possibly can, no. What did we see that Galatians said about the law being fulfilled? Love is the fulfillment of the law. And if you love, you're not going to do all those things that the law forbids, and you're going to try to do everything that the law commands. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do what? You'll keep my commandments. Well, what was his commandment? Love one another. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Okay. And then chapter 7, verses 21 and following. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, But I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Who will deliver me from that corrupt flesh? That still is part of, not us, but that we still carry around with us. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He has positionally set us right, and we are sanctified daily, being delivered from this flesh by the body of Christ. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. And just taking that verse out of context, you might think, well, so what he's saying is, whatever this flesh does, it doesn't really matter. So he's going back on himself when he said earlier that, by no means, how can we who are dead to sin live in it? No, he's not reversing his position and saying, okay, well, we'll just think about good things, but with this flesh, you know, whatever I do with my hands and my physical being, it doesn't really matter. It's not what he's saying at all. Should we then give in to the flesh with our body? Wretched man that I am, verse 24, who will deliver me from this body? Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's not throwing in the towel, so to speak, with the last part of that verse. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. No, that's not what he's doing. Look at chapter 8, verse 11. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. That's the process of sanctification. And then on into verse 12 and following. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. We are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if we live according to the flesh, we will die. But if by the Spirit we put to death the deeds of the body, we will live. For all who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. So, because we still sin, does that mean we must sanctify ourselves daily with the flesh? By grace are we justified, and by grace are we sanctified. Again, that's the point I want to drive home to you. It's by grace that we're positionally set right, and it's by grace through Christ who leads us into righteousness. And one more verse. I don't know if I have this for the screen, but it's Philippians chapter 2. It's kind of pulls it all together in my mind. I hope it does for you. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 through 15. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Does it matter what we do with our bodies, our flesh, our mind? Yes, it does. Is it led by the flesh? Is it sanctifying us by doing these good things with our flesh? No. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work, both to will with your mind and to work with your hands that which is pleasing in His sight. His good pleasure. And so in that, we could say we are working out our own salvation with fear and trembling, knowing who it is that we serve. Not out of fear that He's going to smack us down and send us to hell. No. But out of fear and reverence that who He is a holy God. And who He is living within us, producing those good works that we do with our hands and our mind. Amen. I hope this blesses your heart. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we are thankful for Your Word. We pray that You would seal the truth to our minds and our hearts. And we may live daily as lights in this dark, perverted world. Thank You for Christ, Your blessed Holy Spirit that lives within us. In His holy name we pray. Amen.